Amen. The challenge is to change the world. And how does God change the world? He changes it through people. Who does he use? Us. He's going to use you. Right. He's going to use us. He uses his church. Amen. Let's pray and let's ask God to bless this word. Father, I thank you for every person that you've drawn here today. Father, I pray that you would challenge us through your word this morning. That your word really would become rhema. It would be double-edged. That it would go deep into our soul and into our spirit. Like somebody prayed this morning. God, I pray that what we hear today wouldn't just be forgotten the next day, but it'd be deep within our spirit, and we'd be carrying it, and we'd be living it out throughout the rest of this year for the glory of God and for our blessing. Bless this word as I preach it, as you speak it, Holy Spirit, through my mouth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. You know, that's a great video. It's a brand new year. It's a challenge for the new year. We're into a new year, and then we're into a new season. And if you look at the front of your bulletin, it's called Pressing On and Taking Hold. And that's the theme for our series this beginning of this new year. And today my message is actually called Moving Beyond Your Past. Moving Beyond Your Past. The theme for this series is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. And these are the words that Paul spoke, the Apostle Paul. And he said, not that I have already obtained all these things. Let me just back up. Let me say this about Apostle Paul. I mean, Jesus, he's the ultimate, right? And he's the one we serve. But Paul the Apostle, if there was ever a man that emulated Jesus and wanted to pursue the purposes of God in his life, it was Paul. I mean, he gave everything. He gave his heart. He gave his hand. Everything was consumed with the gospel, preaching the gospel, serving Jesus. He had an encounter with Christ. So here's Paul, and he's saying these words, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Wow, what those are. Those are passionate, powerful words with great purpose in Paul's heart, right? You know, if there's one thing, and I've said this before, if there's one thing that I realize in my Christian walk with God, and I've been walking with God for at least 30 years now, there's one thing I realized is this, is that God loves it when we take steps of faith. And that God responds when we take steps of faith, when we trust in Him, to the point that God will actually change our circumstances, and He will change the conditions in our lives. And to show you, to give you an example, in the book of Exodus, the second book in the Bible, is the story of over two million Israelites. And they've been this nation of Israel, this people of God. It was the first church in the desert that ended up being in the desert. But it was this church, they were in bondage. The people of Israel were in bondage for over 400 years, generations. Finally, they cry out, and God liberates them. I won't go into that incredible story. You can read that in the Bible. But God liberates them. And these 2 million plus people come out of Egypt. And they leave Egypt with dreams. Dreams of freedom. And hopes of a brand new life. But the problem is that the Egyptians, the ones they got freed from, are chasing them. Why? Because they don't want to let them go. And so they're in a place where they find themselves, they can't go any further. Because in front of them is the raging Red Sea, and behind them is the enemy, the Egyptians. And so they are trapped. So God does something. Picture this in Exodus chapter 14, verse 19. Then the angel of God, who had been leading the people of Israel, moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also from the front stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and the Israelite camps. So here, God created a separation for them from their past. This was God's way of saying to them, I don't want you looking behind you. I want to shift your focus to what's ahead, to what's in front of you. Right? So, when you think about it, how many people live their life looking at their past? So many people. I know people in our family, in our church, at work, in your workplace, you'll find people always looking, being pulled, constantly pulled to be looking at their past. And as a result, they're living in regrets. Regrets of what they did or what they didn't do, what they said or what they might have not said. Constantly reliving a season that's already done. It's already finished. Relationships that are over. And possibly carrying an old offense. Or maybe they imagine that the past life that they've had is the best they're ever gonna have, and there's nothing more for them. And so therefore, they're caught in this place where they're always looking back, rethinking their past, and they're thinking that things just won't get any better. You know, I'm reminded of a story of a guy, and let's have a picture of this guy. You recognize this guy? You know, if you're a sports fan, if you're a basketball fan, you would recognize this guy. This is Magic Johnson. He's a former NBA player. He was a Hall of Famer. Incredible, incredible basketball player. And one day, a reporter was interviewing Magic Johnson. And he asked him this question. He asked him, he said, is it true that you were playing in this incredible, tight, challenging basketball game and you were dribbling the ball down court and suddenly you stopped because you saw two guys in the stand and you yelled out, hey, I want to see you guys after the game. And the reporter said to Magic, what was that all about? And Johnson replied, well, actually, I had these big dreams and these ideas about business and I was so excited about them. And I was going down court. I saw these two guys in the stand and I recognized they were business people, they were experts and they were at the top of their field. And it just happened. Wow. So we think about them. Here's somebody. He's at the very top of his game. He's an all-star. But he's thinking way past where he currently is. He's thinking in his mind, I'm not gonna settle here. There's more for me past where I am, what I'm doing right now. Even though I'm at the top of the game, because someday I'm going to get too old and too slow for the game. But I'm never going to settle in my past. I'm never going to live in my past. There's a future ahead of me beyond what I'm doing right now. I'm not done here. There's more for me, right? So here's the first point. Point number one. Whether the past is good or bad, there's no future in it, right? There's no future in it. I love the words that Kevin Gerald, he's a pastor in Tacoma. He said these words, when you're reliving your past, you're missing out on the present and you're sabotaging your future. So true, isn't it? In other words, it's a dead end. Stop focusing on your past, right? And it's like God wants us to know, just like the Israelites, that God is saying to us, I'll take care of your past if you focus on your future. Focus on your future. Point number two. Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful for what God has done. But let's not assume that what God has done is all He wants to do. Amen? There's more. There's more. I love this scripture. We've quoted this before. Ephesians 3:20. Paul said these words. Now all glory to God, who is what? Able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. The reality is that God has more in mind for all our lives. Amen? God's not done. He's not finished. He has plans for you. It's not over, right? You think about Abraham. Abraham, there's a painting of Abraham. Abraham, in Genesis 17, verse 1, God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. I'm the God of the war. He says, I'm going to make you, he's 99 years old, and God challenges him. I'm going to make you a father. At 99 years old, you're going to become a father. But you're not going to become a father of just a few. I'm going to make you a father of so many people, like the stars in the sky, like the sand on the seashore, right? Look up and see. He says, that's what I'm going to do. He says, your journey, your faith walk is just beginning at 99 years of age, right? It's not over yet. It wasn't over for Abraham, even at 99 years of age. Here's another guy. Do you recognize this guy? This is Colonel Harlan Sanders, right? You know, he started the Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise. Finger chicken, that was finger licking good, right? I wish I had some right now. But Colonel Sanders was 65 years old when he started the KFC franchise. He was living in his car. He was driving around trying to sell his recipe. And he started that franchise and at 65 years old. And he became the second most recognized person in all of America. Isn't that amazing? It's not over, is it? God has more. God has way more. So here's the point. Whatever your background, whatever your age, whatever your background, whatever your history, God has more for you in 2017. Can you say amen to that? There is more for you. Amen. I'd like you to shout a little bit louder than that, but anyway. All right. Amen. Right. Yeah. Amen. It's 2017. And guess what? You're still here. Why are you still here? Because there's more for you. God has more in mind for you in 2017. So let's not focus. Let's not settle in our faith. Let's not settle in our hope. And let's not settle in our setbacks. And let's not settle in our disappointments. Amen? So many people get stuck there. So many people get caught living in one of two stages or two phases. Here's two stages. The first one is that setback stage. People get caught up in a setback stage where they live disappointed. Many people, after disappointment, carry this low level of expectation in their life. And they've decided in their mind, I'm just going to live my life as it comes to me. Whatever happens, happens. It's like que sera, sera, right? I'm not going to expect much anymore. I'm not going to get too excited. And I'm not going to expect any much more out of life. Can I say that if that's you, I want to remind you, God has more for you in 2017, right? God has more for you. God is a God of healing, and he's a God of restoration. Amen? All right, people can live in that setback stage. There's another stage is the maintenance stage or the maintenance mode where you're just surviving, but you're not thriving. You're not thriving. You've settled. You've gotten into this place of mediocrity. You become comfortable, you know, and you've decided, you know, it's not a bad life you're living, but you've decided, well, I'm just going to get along. I'm just going to plod along, you know, and you decided, you know, and you become afraid. You become afraid to make new proclamations. You're afraid to believe God for new breakthroughs. And you're afraid to make new plans because you think you're going to be disappointed, right? Because they're going to fail. And I want to say the same thing to you again today. I believe the Spirit of God wants to say the same thing as those who are stuck in that setback stage. That God has more for you in 2017. There's way more for you in 2017. Let me ask you these questions. Are there any prayers that you still want to see God answer? Right? Do you have any? Are there any doors that you want to see God open for you this year? Yeah. Are there any people in your life that you, in your family, that you need to see get saved? Are there any people that you want to see come back to God? Yeah. It's not over yet. So therefore, press in and take hold of the promises of God. Amen? Amen. Number three. This is a short message. Number three. Whatever you need more of, whatever you need more of, who's the source? God is the source of endless and generous supply. Whatever you need more of, God is the source of endless and generous supply. One of my favorite verses is Philippians 4:19. Paul quotes that one too, and he says, "And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." Notice he didn't say, "My God might," but he says, "My God will, my God shall meet all my needs." So whatever you need more grace, you need more compassion, you need more favor, there's more for you. God has more for you. Do you believe that? Amen. Yeah, amen. There's a great scripture in Lamentations 3:22. It goes this way. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions," what? "Never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." The writer says here, God won't come down and consume us. He won't fry us to a crisp. Why? Because his love and his compassions and his mercy and his grace, they never fail, and they are new every morning. New every morning. They never, ever run out. Amen? And so we can say, God, great, great is your faithfulness. Oh God, great is your faithfulness. It never runs out. You know, I think about our church, and I'm surprised there's so many of you this morning. Thank you for coming out this morning. You're incredible people. But you know, as a pastor, we've been pastoring this church for years now, and to be honest with you, we don't really know what our reputation is out there on the street. I don't know what City Light's reputation there is on the streets, but I do know. But let me say this. If our church is known to be a people of grace, if it's known to be a church that doesn't have it all together, if it's known to be a church with messed up people who can come back to God with confidence and thankfulness that God, you're still here for me, and if the pastors and the leaders of this church keep on saying, God's grace never runs out and his love never gives up, then that's the church that I want to belong to. And that's the church that Jesus wants to inhabit and become part of. Amen? Would you agree with that? That's what, you know, people give up, but God never gives up. God never ever gives up. He's always there for us. That's a good reminder for us. God, we need to be reminded of that constantly. God never gives up. His mercies are there for us. They're fresh every day, every day, every day. So when we sin and we blow it, we can come back. His forgiveness is there for us every day, every day. You know, we were in Hawaii a few years ago. Seems like a long time ago. And I remember learning about we're on the island of Oahu. And we learned all about the fresh water supply. You know, all the water that the water supply in Hawaii, you know where it comes from? From the high above on all the mountain peaks. And all these mists form, and they form these rivers, these streams, which flows down the mountains. And they go right into the rainforest. And it takes, sometimes they say it takes the water that's formed up will seep down and will go into travel through these rainforests, and sometimes it takes weeks and months before that water actually is received into a reservoir where it can be used by the cities. But in that process, it's a filtration system, and the water that that comes down from that mountains and into those reservoirs is so fresh and it's so clean and it's so pure. There's absolutely nothing added to it. And you can take a shower in it every day. You can drink it every day. And, you know, it's always there. It's endless. It's fresh. It's, there's no additives. It's not recycled. You know, that's like God's grace. That's like God's mercy. It's endless. It's always there. It's for us every single day. That's amazing, isn't it? And it's fresh and clean and pure and it's new and it's not recycled and it's not reused. It's there for us every day. Wow. That's a great picture. You know, so if we believe it, if that's like God's mercy, grace and forgiveness, if it's there for us every day, then can I say this, then let's start showing more confidence in God. And let's stop reminding ourselves of our failures. Let's not get down on ourselves. And let's start declaring God's favor and God's incredible goodness over our lives. Amen? Amen. We need to say amen, amen, amen. And agree with God's word this morning. You know, we need to believe in God's grace and God's mercy. That it's so incredible. It's unlimited. It's endless. You know, and let's admit it. I gotta admit, I blow it almost every single day. I blow it with my wife 2 or 3 years ago. Two or three days ago. Yeah, it was 2 or 3 years ago when I blew it. No, it was 2 or 3 days ago when I blew it. It was just day before yesterday. You know, but I know that she forgives me and I know that God forgives me. It doesn't matter. You know, where sin abounds, what does the Bible say? Grace abounds all the more. He just forgives you. You fail, you fall, you just get up, you just keep going. Don't beat yourself up on your failures, right? Don't let the devil remind you of your failures. Be reminded of God's incredible, unfailing love and grace and mercy and forgiveness and favor. Every single day, it's there for you. It never runs out. It's there for you every single day. Number 4. Let's move out the old and make room for the new. Let's move out the old and make room for the new. Here's a great verse in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 10. It goes this way. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. You like that scripture? You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. The reason why a lot of people don't experience God's supply is because they hold on to what they have as if it's the last supply that God will ever give them. And the reason why people hoard and they hold on to is because they think that what they have is going to run out and they're going to have nothing left. But what does the Word of God tell us? What does the Word say? Here, Leviticus tells us, if you want new things from God, then you've got to move out the old. If you want new things from God, you got to move out the old. I like this saying, your past supply is not your last supply. Do you believe that? Your past supply is not your last supply. God has more for you. You got to learn to get rid of some stuff. And to give it away. You know, my dad was a market gardener. He was a vegetable farmer. Did that all his life. But I remember every single year in fall time, when the new harvest was ready to be taken off the ground, my dad would go in weeks before, maybe a month before that harvest was even taken off the ground. And he'd go into that big old root cellar. And he'd start to just move stuff out of there. If he couldn't sell it, he'd give it away. If he couldn't give it away, he'd throw it out. Nothing from last year would ever be in that root cellar before the new harvest came in. You know that? The old just doesn't mix with the new. And I remember him doing that. He'd compartmentalize. He said, this is where the cabbage is going to go. This is where the turnips. This is where the potatoes are going to go. And because we got this huge cabbage harvest, we're going to enlarge this bin over here. We're going to midsize this one, but he's getting ready for an incredible, incredible harvest. And that's the way that God wants us to believe too, right? Whatever area of your life, God has a harvest and a provision for you. Amen. There's something fresh and new that God wants to put in that old place. So get rid of whatever is left in there and get ready for the new. I say this, when you realize, it's when you quit holding on to everything, that's when you realize that God is a God of abundance, of blessing. That's when you realize it. When you quit holding on to everything. Sometimes all God needs is some space to bring the new into your life. Sometimes that's all he needs. So, and I love this saying, it's God's job to supply, but it's our job to make room for it. To make room for it. To receive it. So I want to say this, let's move out some of last year's harvest out of our lives. Right? And let's not be scared, let's not be freaked out to give it. I say, you know, every believer is called to give the three T's of his life. We're called to give our time, we're called to give our talents to God, and we're called to give our tithe, right? Don't be afraid to give it away, right? Because there's more for you. Sometimes God says, just get rid of some of the last year's harvest, just give it away. You can still do it today. You still might even get a tax receipt for it, right? You know what? We are blessed in order to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're conduits. We're not ponds and reservoirs to hold it off. We're conduits of God's grace, God's mercy, God's power, God's provision, of God's finances. How does God get it into the world to people who need it? Through us. We're the pipelines. We're the conduits, right? And we need to let it freely flow through us. You got to learn to give it away, to get rid of it. Amen? Because if you don't get rid of it, then you can't get what God really wants to give you, which is fresh and which is greater, which is better. Amen? That's what we want to happen. So in 2017, I say, let's believe God. Let's believe God for more. Let's believe God for greater. And let's move beyond God this year. Let's move beyond this year's grace, this year's favor, to receive what is fresh and new in 2017. Amen? Amen? I just want to remind you, God has more for you. The question is, will you receive it? Amen? Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just want to pray for us in this year. Father, I pray, as God's people, people of faith, people who have confidence and trust in you, who have courage to live according to your word, Lord. Help us to live according to your word. And in the principles that you have laid out for us. Help us to understand there are pathways and principles that if we walk in these principles and pathways, Lord, there's undoubted, incomprehensible blessings and favor that you want to give us this year. So Father, I pray that you would put within us the same Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, this spirit of courage and overcoming and an advancement, an increase would be within us. I pray this passion for God would be so strong within us, Lord, that we would be willing to give up everything to follow you and to live a life that's according to your purpose. So, Father, I pray that this more of your spirit in your Son within us, put more hunger in us today for your word, to read it, to meditate it, to believe it, so that we can increase in our levels of faith. And I also say, give us the passion and the desire to really know you and to believe in you for the impossible things in our life, Lord. And challenge us to rise up to do the unusual, to believe for the breakthroughs, to break out of the past things of life, to do these extraordinary things for the glory of God, to be partners with you this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I just want you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just for a few minutes here, just a couple of minutes. And I want to pray for someone that might be here today. Maybe you know about Jesus, but you've never personally invited Him into your heart. And today I want to tell you that this is the day. I believe that God is saying to you, that Jesus is saying to you, this is the day that you can do that today. And if you have never invited Christ into your heart, you can do that today. And if you do that, you will find this brand new life that He wants to give you begins to come into your life. The old begins to pass away. This newness of life, this freshness of life begins to come into your heart, into your life, and into your purposes. And God is saying, you'll never be the same again. It's called salvation. It's called eternal life in heaven. So if that's you, I want you to say and repeat after me this very simple and this very powerful prayer. But I promise you, you will never be the same after you see this prayer. So if you've never received Christ, I want you to just repeat these words after me. Amen. Here we go. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for my sins. I believe you. And today I receive you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And just as you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask, if you said that prayer for the very first time, will you raise your hand and just wave it? Anybody? You said that prayer, you invited Christ into your heart, just raise your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. I'm so glad you're here today. You know, and this year, let's spread the message of the gospel. Let's tell everybody about Jesus. Amen.